And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're having a great show talking fishing with Jerry Guzman from JRI Custom Lures and Danny Wade, the Yellowtail Man himself, a creator and helper of designing the DW1, which we're talking a lot about today. It's good times.
Yeah, this is great, man. Really fun info and all kinds of great stuff. I love it, having a great time doing it. And we want to hear from you. It's been a very busy morning on the phones, but, man, let's keep them rolling. 833-288-0973. That's how you reach us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. Again, 833-288-0973. Not only are we talking surface iron and JRI jigs and all this great stuff today, also giving away a really killer prize. One lucky caller at the end of the show today is going to go fishing on a full-day trip on board the Liberty at a Fisherman's Landing. Great opportunity to fish with Taro and Anibal and the whole gang there. A lot of fun and a great trip and a great prize at the end of the show.
We're going to sweeten the pot. Ooh. Thanks to Jerry. He brought in a JRI T-shirt and a JRI DW1.
Nice.
So we're
going to
include that with the trip with the trip for the Liberty for
cool.
the caller.
So not only will you get to go fishing on the Liberty, you'll be doing it in style with a new T-shirt and the hottest jig on the water right now.
And the hot jig.
Yeah, I love it, man.
Sure. How about that?
That's pretty sweet. Again, if you want to get your shot at that great prize, or better yet, your chance to talk to Jerry and Danny, 833-288-0973.
Hey, I want to remind you, our next San Diego County Ford Dealer Ride Remote is going to be Saturday, August 1st. That's just a couple weeks from yesterday at North County Ford in Vista. That's your next chance to qualify for the big grand prize, either by random draw or by winning the Shimano Casting Contest. That's a trip for one on the Searcher Limited Load 8-day trip in November. That's going to be an awesome opportunity. Searcher, of course, is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and the trip is prime time, Guadalupe, the Ridge, more. You can also win a trip on the Blackjack, that great 4-6-pack boat out of Dana Landing in Mission Bay. AFCO and Hydrus foul weather gear, the finest foul weather gear on the market. Shimano rods and reels, Maui Jim sunglasses. Lots of giveaways, too, just for showing up. Check the guest page of letstalkhookup.com and for the rules and the details. And that's Saturday, August 1st at North County Ford in Vista with Ken Corwin from Ken Custom Reel will be our guest that day. And it's right off Highway 78 at Vista Village Drive right there in Vista.
All right. Hey, let's continue on with our catch report. The man, the surf guru, Gundy Gunderson's on the line. What's up, Gundy?
Hey, how's it going, you guys?
We're having lots of fun. Want to know what's going on in the surf.
This is a great show. It's just candy for the jig thrower, you know. Select fraternity of cuckoos. Great way to get the job done. Hey, we got just excellent fishing. I'd say the Corbina fishing's as good as it gets. Most anglers reported hooking several fish in the session. But that calico bass fight continues in the rocks, and we had several really nice fish taken this week. And, of course, all the other players, the elephant croaker, spot fin, white sea bass, some legal fish, halibut, even an orange mouth in the count. I'll get right to it. Hook, line, sinker reported more good calico bass fishing on the reefs, beaches, swim baits, cut anchovies, been the top presentations there. Some white sea bass, a few legal also in the mix. Campus Point and Graveyards, two of the hot spots up there. Wiley's reported really good calico bass fishing, the rocky spots. One of their regulars has been soaking whole trap rake sardines. He took a 24, 26, and 27 inch calico bass this week. That's a quality fish on the bait. I've been hearing that just from all the guys. All the reef beaches are holding some nice quality calicos, and that's been the thing here this early summer. A few legal sea bass also in the mix. Big Rock, Latigo, Nicholas. And they're actually the top catch up there this week was a 40-inch halibut taken off Paradise Cove, also on cut sardine. Just Fishing reported good Corvina action on South Bay beaches. 4-pound, 2-ounce fish was the tops this week. Hermosa, Manhattan, a couple of the better spots. Big Fish reported several Corvina over 3 pounds this week. Huntington Cliffs, Balsa, Sunset Beach, all kicking out fish there. Ketchum Tackle in Newport reported good Corvina action all along the peninsula there. The street jetties, the piers, the wedge, all good catches. Lots of 2 to 3 pound models there. A few kickers pushing the 4 pound mark. Hogan's reported the same good Corvina action. Strands, Salt Creek have been good spots. And then south of the San Clemente Pier. Screening for nugget crabs. The crabs are really in. The water temperature's in the 70s now. So lots of crabs. And they're screening for soft shells or some of those bigger nuggets. And that's what's doing the trick for those guys. Pacific Coast reported the same excellent Corvina action. They're fly lining the big nugget crabs on 6-pound fluorocarbon. They had a 4-pound, 2-ounce fish there. Still some legal halibut around. A shop regular took a 29-inch halibut to go with a 9-pound orange mouth, taking off Leucadia there on a 110 flash minnow. And then finally, Blue Water reported more good Corvina action. Del Mar, Torrey Pines, and their catch of the week was a 7-pound, 10-ounce spot fin croaker. So
nice,
just terrific fishing.
Good
quality
fishing.
Yeah, no doubt.
And if you're a Corvina man, this is time to strike. You know,
that's cool. Well, that's awesome. Gundy Gunnison, surf guru extraordinaire, thanks a lot for that. And we will talk to you next Sunday.
It's good living.
All right. Great show. Really enjoying the information.
All right.
Thanks, Gundy.
There's a lot more to come.
How about a guy catching multiple calicos over 22 inches?
Holy cow. That's a big.
And how he said
it,
too.
Think about how big that is.
Trap rigging fresh dead sardines. I mean, that's some dedication. If you're taking that bait down to the beach, you're rigging for them. That guy was fishing for those fish. I love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah.
I think that's really cool.
It's a good one for sure. Well, phones are packed. They want to talk to these guys. So let's jump into it.
All right, Chuck from Dana Point, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Chuck, thanks for joining us.
Hey, you guys. I was going surface iron fishing this afternoon on the half day, but I guess I'm going to be buying some shrimp with that water. Thanks, Wooly. At least they still got the hot burgers, though. Hey,
that's right.
You know, these guys always asking about how fast and all that. You got to watch your jig when it comes in the last 20 feet of the boat when you can see it, and you'll know how fast to go because every reel that you bring probably has a ratio that's different than the other one. So always watch your jig when it comes in, you know, or if you have a community pool, that's a great place to go practice. And you can see how fast it go, and if you want to jig it or not, you know, like every 4 ranks, you give it a grand.
Just don't hook any of the swimmers, though.
Yeah, right. You got to go early. But as far as changing the hooks, you guys kind of touched on that earlier. When they do get bent or rusty, and we've been changing them out, like you guys know, for the tuna with some single hooks. Now, the J hook's better to change them out with. Are you going to go single, right? And should we
Jerry, what's
not
your thought on that?
If you're trying to catch a tuna, what's your feelings on that?
Depends on I mean, if you know, like this 20-pound stuff that's out front right now, just leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to change it. If you're trying to fish that 100-pound stuff, that's a little different ballgame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I do it. I use a 7691, but I cut it off and I rebraise it and do all that kind of thing, depending on what size lure, depending on what size hook. But typically 7-0 to 7-0, 8-0.
So yeah. I've got a similar question, but maybe different. So I've got my DW1, and it's my favorite jig, and I, you know, whatever happened, the hook bent out, or the barb has got compromised when I was trying to pull hook. I want to change my hook on it. Am I best to cut the ring off and rebraise a new ring and a new hook on, or am I better to cut the hook eye, bend the hook eye out, and then bend it back closed again?
Depends on the day.
Okay.
If you're on, what I carry, you know, those little hook cutters you guys got?
Sure.
Those orange handled hook cutters?
Yeah.
I carry those on a boat. So I can save the day during the course of the day by cutting the eye of the hook right at the base of the eye, bending it out, getting rid of the old hook, putting it back on and bending it back in.
Mm-hmm.
It'll save
the day. Is that going to hold?
Yes. I've caught hundreds, if not thousands of fish.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't
and that's
pull,
on a treble hook.
Yeah, you can't pull hard enough on that, you know, on that with a rod and reel.
Especially
you
with
just a 10-foot
rod
yeah.
and the
you can't
stretch
do it.
Of the mono.
But, you know, in the long run, it's going to give at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you have the ability or know somebody, get a rebraze. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But if you're just trying to save, you know, it's working, you know. And you carry a handful of 2-0 hooks, a handful of 3-0 hooks, and you cut them off, put them back on.
Mm-hmm. Jerry, I noticed that the quality on your brazing is really nice.
Yeah, actually, rings. What we did within the last couple of years was we went to TIG welding.
Ah.
So versus the old school brazing with a brass brazing rod, which has been done for forever, and most jigs, I think Salus and Taddy are still doing the brazing. We wanted a solid fuse by welding, and TIG welding is the way to go. So
it actually fuses the
yeah,
it's not coming apart.
It's not. I mean, it could still happen. And even with brazing, it's out of the tens of thousands of jigs we've made, maybe we've had a few break off, and it's a super small percentage. But I strive for more, I guess, perfection, if you will. So I invested in a TIG welder, and so we're TIG welding our rings now.
The fit and finish of your jigs has always been something that kind of stands behind JRI. The paint jobs are always very high-end and very good-looking and not real bulky and funky, and the rings always look good, and the hooks are always the right size, and they're always very consistent.
I'm going to throw something in here as far as brazing and whatnot. You hear guys say that you got to tie your knot on this side of the braze or that kind of, you know what I'm talking about. If people were to really look, you know, if you take and say the ring of the lure and that braze is or the weld even is 90 degrees, so it's off to the side, and you tie your knot right on top of that 90 degrees, after 5 casts, it's sitting right next to the weld of the brace.
Because it moves.
It moves on the ring. You're
so
not,
the moral of that story is tie it next to the brace.
The moral of the story is just tie it on.
It doesn't matter where you tie it.
You can put the weld mark of the brace right in the middle, right in the hole in the jig.
Right.
And tie it on top of that. So you're 180 degrees away from it. After 4 casts, it's going to be right next to it.
Right next to it.
Because it was just from the lure moving in the water.
Moving around, yeah, and it's going to slide. Thanks a lot for the call, by the way. You talked, Jerry, we haven't really covered tuna on a jig.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite jig that you've like if somebody's going tuna fishing,
great
wants to go catch a yellowfin, everybody's
especially
got tuna
right
on
now,
the man.
So much
right now, we
got to
ask
him,
what are you taking?
No, good call.
So right now, if I could shameless plug, if you go to the Instagram, JRI Custom Lures Instagram, a lot of guys, what I love about Instagram is people posting pics of their fish caught on our jigs. But one of the cool things that I like to see is showing what's being caught right now. And so a lot of guys, they're posting bluefin tuna on our jigs, stinger on the darker color jigs, lucre at English Choice. If you look at some of the pics he's been posting prior bluefin, that anchovy dark color shift purple green. What I've been liking is the JRI 3, the JRI 5.
Are those brass ones?
These are surface iron.
Surface iron, okay.
So the JRI 3 and the 5 are flat back jigs. So it's non-conventional looking jig. But that flat back, you could skip jig. And I think that's a technique that's been a lot of people don't know about.
Yeah.
And it's basically like a popper. Get that rod tip vertical and just crank as fast as you can, kind of that jig just splashing on the water. We're not looking for that side-to-side action, but that splash, kind of like a flying fish, you know, when we're kite fishing, and that reactionary bite on tuna. That seems to be working really well. The private boat guys, they're catching them on the stinger surface iron. Anywhere between 60 to, 123 pounds on the surface iron.
Wow.
With a treble hook.
With
a treble hook. And I'm I always ask when they send me these messages, hey, how'd the hook show up? You know, send me a picture of the hook. And it'll hold up. So, you know, between the rod, the drag, you set it in. I mean, it will hold, I think.
I like to keep my treble hooks on. I think if the fish eats it right, you're going to get it. And if the fish eats it wrong, you're probably not. And I'm a guy that thinks that treble hook makes that lure
swim the best
way. And so for the most part, I keep it on and hope that the hook ends up in the right spot. And if it does, and it's meant to be, and if it wasn't, then we'll just get him on the next round.
Yeah.
If I could just say, I just got a message from the Intrepid guys that just came back.
Yeah.
Gary Grant, who's some may know him, he makes custom painting lures in Orange County. He just said, Thanks for the jigs on our trip. The DW1 is the bomb. It caught everything. So
wow,
there you go.
That's always a good message.
I'm curious to see what will happen. I mean, they just came back from an 8-day trip, so I think the DW1 made its first 8-day debut trip this week. So
sweet.
We hope to see what comes from that.
That's
so
awesome.
There you go, Danny.
Yeah.
All right, very good. All right, it's time to find out what's going on on the water.
You got it, man. It's time for our fishdope.com report with a man, Captain Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Today it's sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro Series knives and their custom bluefin and yellowfin knives from Anza, made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge. And they also have killer other knives. They offer knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more details or get the Fish Pro Series, which is available at Fisherman's Processing. Let's talk to Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide. Good morning, Dave.
Well, good morning, guys. Good morning. Hey, another fun week of fishing. It was really fun. There was lots of tuna in our area above the border from the corner on up to Clemente. Phenomenal schools of that bigger fish, our favorite kind to catch, Ricky, on the rubber flying fish and on the dead flyers. Right now, though, there's a phenomenal amount of that baby blue shark from the 43 up the ridge. They're like 1.5 to 2 feet long, and they are just destroying those dead flyers. It's really tragic to see what's going on. There's so many baby – it's great that there's baby blue sharks in the ocean. Don't get me wrong. I'm not that guy. It's great to see them, but, man, they are making a mess of those $35, $40 flying fish right now.
Yeah.
It's good for you, Rick, because everybody needs flying fish right now. Because
you need double the amount that you would normally take, because if you're just not paying attention, those little, and that you just don't see them. I mean, they're literally just like he said. These blue sharks are about the same size as your flying fish, and you just look out like, what the hell is going on? And then all of a sudden, you start cranking up on your flyer rod, and you'll pull a shark that's bit the tail off of your flying fish. And Dave's not kidding; they're a foot long. You know, it's a 12-inch long blue shark.
Their favorite spot to eat it is right in the middle. They to bite it right in the middle in that soft spot, and so that's that. It's over.
Just makes it unfishable. But, yeah. Just your $30 flying fish gone. If they get a hold of the hooks, now you got to re-rig your 200-pound fluorocarbon. Yeah, it is extremely frustrating.
It's pretty crazy. I've had I didn't even really realize how bad it was until I got probably 10 different clients send me pictures and what do you think bit my flying fish? And I'm like, holy Christ. The first time I was like, oh, I've seen that happen before. It was probably a baby blue shark, but 10 guys, 10 different times, 10 different places up the ridge. Wow. So that tells me there's a phenomenal amount of those little guys out there. But the big news is, like Brian Woolley was talking about, wind, a lot of wind today, a lot of wind tomorrow, more wind Tuesday. Thursday, it's going to calm down. Friday looks really nice right now. So that water temperature is taking a hit. The bluefin don't mind the cold water, but our surface action on the beaches is taking a pounding the last 2 days. I got a picture from Jimmy Decker this morning, though. It doesn't seem like him and Eric had any problem finding calico bass this morning in 57-degree water in Corona del Mar. 57-degree water at the end of July. It's crazy,
that's
guys.
That's crazy.
But
yeah,
like Wooly says, it's going to bounce back. It always does. But, that's pretty drastic from 72 to 57 in just a day and a half.
Yeah, that is pretty crazy. That's what wind will do for sure. But it'll bounce back just that quickly, too. So in the meantime, offshore, not gonna change like that. That's for sure. And fishdope.com, Danny and the boys over there have done such a great job of keeping people up to date on what's going on. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code for that big discount on fishdope.com. And Dave, how do we find you?
Hey guys, take a look at my website, yoursaltwaterguide.com. And Danny, you love it. There's a whole section on fishing the surface iron, and it's pretty much, I'm just saying exactly what you say. It's exactly the same about how to fish the surface iron, watch the lure, see how it kicks. Every reel winds different, teaching everybody how to fish the iron, yo-yo, surface. I got a a section on pretty much anything that you want to catch in Southern California and any way you want to catch it at yoursaltwaterguide.com. So go check out the website. Pete, thanks for all you do for me. You wouldn't even believe how many people tell me. Pete told me about this, so thank you so much.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
All right, guys. See ya.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate that. I'm over those blue sharks, man.
That's the first I've heard of it. It's like, oh my, that's like serious stuff because you take the time to rig that dead flyer, right? And then you put this $35 flyer out there and it gets chumped by a blue shark. Oh man.
And not even an impressive one. I mean, it's the size of a calico bass. Like they have to be fresh out the womb. I mean, they're so tiny.
Well, maybe they'll move on quickly.
I hope so.
Yeah, we can only hope. Right?
But I hope they get bigger quickly so I can go chase yellowtail on.
There you go.
Wait a minute. Tell me what? Oh, this is some new secret here? Chasing yellowtail on blue sharks?
Forever and ever and ever.
What? Tell us.
You get out here, you know, I mean, from here to La Jolla and from here to Coronado Islands, it was something you kept your eyes on. You'd be looking for blue sharks, and you'll see them up. Blue sharks have a very definite cadence in their swim, very rhythmic.
Uh-huh.
But now you get them up, and you see that twitch, and that dorsal fin is just twitching. This yellowtail are beating the hell out of the thing, trying to make it regurgitate whatever it's eating.
Really?
So they get a free meal, and it's a surface iron's heaven.
Oh, no kidding.
We got to see that.
Fishing the blue sharks.
Fishing blue sharks, yeah. Most of the yellowtail, when you get them, if you just look at their nose, it's red. From beating the belly
of the blue shark.
On our last Let's Talk Hookup trip to Cedros, we got to experience that, and it was, I mean, verbatim for what Danny just described. You'd see the thing up on the surface flashing, and you'd see the flicker of the tails of the yellows, and there was a half a dozen fish or more that were just, you know, you'd see them flashing, doing, I mean, word for word what he just said, and same deal, you'd cast a lure anywhere in that general vicinity and pick those things off.
Whatever you do is just don't snag the shark.
Because
it's over. You know?
Yeah, you take their fun away.
Then they'll go away.
And
the shark takes your lure away.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you don't want to do that. Well, phones are still packed up. They want to talk to you guys.
Yeah,
so let's
buddy.
Jump into it.
Let's do it. Mark from Santee, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I want to know, there's a lot of differentiations of color in the surface irons. Is there a difference in what you throw out there as far as color goes?
Does color matter, Jerry?
Oh, that's the big debate, right? Does color matter? Well, you know, I let's look at the history, right? Back in the day, you know, it was all bare blanks. If you look at the original candy bars, they're all bare. You know, this mint came from, I was talking to Yamada over at Seaforth years ago. The mint derived from spray can of Detroit Diesel Green. That's where that derived from. So, you know, but again, as we start progressing, we're seeing our years, we start matching the hatch. If you look at some of the pictures on our Instagram, Danny with some big calico bass on the dark, you know, solid yellow jigs. Mint seems to be working really well. We came out a couple years ago with a mint white gold. That seems to be doing really well. Yo-yo jig, scrambled egg, and blue white seems to be the hot ticket. We did a three-dayer back in January, blue and white. Yo-yo jig was getting bit constantly.
Couldn't deny it.
So, you know, that is the chicken or the egg argument, I think, in the jig world.
Every day is different.
Yeah, and I see it. And, you know, coming from bare blank, and we still make the bare blank jig. We have it right here in front of Rick.
Which one did Rick Jerry brought us a couple jigs, and I gave Rick first choice. Which one did you pick,
Rick? I like that bear one, man.
Yeah, see?
There you go. I'm the same. I don't think that the color is the end-all, be-all, but I like, you know, we're catching a lot of tuna on the surface iron now, and I like a painted jig for yellowtail, and I like a non-painted one for tuna fish as just a super, very general. I would take a great swimming painted jig over a poor swimming bear jig, and vice versa the same. You know, I'd take a great swimming bear jig over the hottest color, but I mean,
Danny, what
you gotta
you
catch
think?
The fisherman.
Color?
The only time I get into color is calico bass fishing.
Okay.
For yellowtail, to me, it doesn't make a big difference. But again, like Jerry said, you know, that it's a dark yellow.
Yeah.
And from fishing with Timmy Green, we got on this yellow thing years and years and years ago, 30, 40 years ago. And the calico bass eat it, especially when they're up in that stringer. You know, they're in the spawn and they eat anything. But that quality fish really gets on it. And we figured it out one day. J.D. McGriff, working on a boat, we got a ton of kelp fish in the bait. So he's just throwing them in the hand well. Tim looks at me and says, I'm going to pin one of these things on. Pins it on, hits the water, bam. Hits the water, bam. Take that yellow jig and you stick it in the hand well with those kelp fish. There's your answer right there.
Oh.
The only other time I get into it is out more so bull kelp, deeper water, harder bottom. What now they call that bleeding soldier, G.I. Joe, whatever you want to call it. Bill Shimizu, part of the Taddy Lure family, he gave me some of these things way back. And he told me, fish him hard bottom, bull kelp, let it sink out, and there's something out there that they get on it. And, I, you know, again, fishing with Tim Green on the back in the Fisherman 3 days. I went with him in the morning. Fish are puddling around. You see the bass up. Getting a bite is one here, one there. And for some reason, I thought about that jig, and I tied it on. I had 18 of the 22 bass we had that morning.
Oh, all right.
So I went out in the afternoon and did the same thing.
So does color matter? Sometimes.
Sometimes.
There you go. Yeah, great answer.
Yeah. All right. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
John and Escondido's up next on Let's Talk Hookup. John, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. And what a fun show. And every time I think of a question to ask, somebody asks it, and you know, and it gets answered. But you've got a tremendous product. I love using it, and Ricky's always kind enough to rig me up in the shop and stuff like that. So unfortunately, I don't have any questions because they've all been answered. But thank you very much for producing a great product and for you guys putting a great show on and always having great hosts.
Thanks.
Awesome. Thank you.
Well, appreciate that very much. All right. Hey, you want to go fishing? There's an opportunity on the Royal Star. You know, we heard talk to Arnie. They just got back on our Let's Talk Hookup 3-Day, which he's going to write our story on it, coming up in our newsletter blast this week. If you haven't subscribed to our newsletter, you can do it on our website, letstalkhookup.com. Just click on it. It's free. We only send it out every other week. We don't spam. We don't sell. We don't do anything. It's just you're going to get an email blast every other week. Talks about various stories, and then also about what's going on in the show and coming up over a couple weeks. But he said he had a great time. They caught some big fish and had a lot of fun. But you have another opportunity. It's a 4-day on the Royal Star that leaves this Tuesday, the 21st, and it comes back Saturday the 25th. You want to get on it. It's a light load. You want to go?
Sign me up.
Yeah, man. Are you kidding me? Call Tracy, 619-224-4764. Just go on RoyalStarSportFishing.com and book that trip right online. Hey, the other thing, too, is we announced yesterday that we just announced 2 2-day Liberty trips out of Fisherman's Landing. And these are limited load, very reasonably priced. They're going to sell like hotcakes. They already have when we announced it yesterday. But there's one on September 20th and one on October 4th, absolute prime
time. That's my favorite time of year to fish.
2-day trip on Liberty, 25 passengers max. And it's $675, includes your permits and your food.
Yeah, that's
How about that, huh?
That's a no-brainer.
That's like a total no-brainer. So if you want to go, you can get details on our website, letstalkhookup.com, on the trips page, or just go right to fishermanslanding.com and book those trips because they are going to sell out quickly.
I love it, man. Yeah. Well, that's it. Phones are still packed up. Everybody's excited to talk to the boys. Let's jump back into it. Talk to Kevin, who's calling us from Pacific Beach. Hi, Kevin. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. I'm just have a few things. I used to start fishing down at Islandia and Seaforth back in the 60s with Andy Saras. We were elbow to elbow, and we made custom rods, and we fished, and we went off La Jolla and caught a lot of yellowtail. But back then it was like Salas and Christie's and stuff, and I would like to know what you think the hottest jig is today. And let's see. We went to we bought our stuff at Stroud Tackle and Midway Bait and Tackle at the time. And what's your pick, Danny?
I mean, you know, it depends. You know, again, talking about your the hottest deal right now is this DW1 because you can't keep it on a shelf.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just...
And it sounds like it's working for tuna, it's working for yellowtail.
But again, you know, I mean, candy bar, you know, is good. This JRI stuff is good. 45s are good, you know. It depends on what you like, you know. You can stand next to one guy and say, I'll never use one of those lures again. And you're sitting there catching fish on it.
Yeah.
Midway Tackle was a great place back in the day, especially with that little guy behind the counter. But, you know, and they even had their own rod. They had that kelp cutter series. They were great rods. You know, unfortunately, it all went away. But and they had their own line, kelp cutter line, you know. So that Midway Bait and Tackle. But, again, I know, if when it comes down to bare facts on a long rod, I'm a Harnell guy when you really get down to it. 724 Harnell. And any good swim allure. I'm not, you know, I don't care what color it is. I don't care, you know, if the fish bite it, it's a good lure, you know.
It's a good lure.
Again, but the hottest thing right now is this DW1 because you just can't keep it in.
There you go. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way, including more of your phone calls. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Have you always wanted a boat but don't want all the hassles? Then you need to join Freedom Boat Club, where you get hassle-free boating. Freedom Boat Club buys the boats, you enjoy them, and they do the rest. Freedom Boat Club takes care of the slip fee, maintenance, insurance, and cleaning. You have access to a fleet of great fishing and family boats ready to go in the water at Mission Bay, San Diego Bay, and 190-plus locations across the world. For more information, check freedomboatclub.com or visit them at Dana Landing and Cabrillo Isle Marina.
Hello, this is Bill Varney from CCA California with a warning to all California anglers. Assembly Bill 3030 is here. AB 3030 proposes to conserve at least 30% of California's water and land by 2030. To date, California has already restricted or placed off limits nearly 40% of the fishable coast. With a current network of more than 145 marine protected areas, California is already recognized as a world leader in marine conservation. The state legislature is working quickly to make these possible closures a reality with no input from anglers. Are you going to let them take your fishing away again? It's time to join CCA if you're not already a member and stand up for your right to fish. Taking steps to help is easy. Join CCA if you're not already a member. Donate to CCA to fund the fight. Volunteer with CCA to join our army to help stand up for anglers and our right to fish. You'll find more information and a link to join at ccacalifornia.org.
For over five decades, Lee Palm Sport Fishing has set the standard in long-range fishing that they pioneered long ago. The Red Rooster 3 sets a new standard of excellence. The Red Rooster 3 is one of the most modern, quiet, and fastest long-range vessels in the fleet. They have handpicked the finest crew to make your trip a memorable one. The Red Rooster 3 offers trips from 3 to 18 days and runs year-round to the best fishing spots on the planet. Ride the Red Rooster 3 once and you'll be back again. Call the Red Rooster 3 at 619-224-3800 or see them on the web at redrooster3.com.
2 years ago, Gamakatsu set out to develop a hook light enough for live bait to swim naturally, yet strong enough to handle your next trophy bluefin. The answer? The Gamakatsu Nautilus Heavy Duty. Most captains agree the Gamakatsu Nautilus hook is best for tuna. And now with the introduction of the Nautilus HD, no matter how big the tuna, Gamakatsu has a hook to handle it. The new Nautilus HD is now available with solid ring or standard hook. Get it now at select tackle shops and start getting bit.
A top fleet and superb fishing is what Seaforth Sport Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and fully stocked tackle shop, it's no wonder Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, El Gato Dos, Pride, Tribute, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea-Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. For charters or regular open party schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time talking jigs.
Yeah, indeed. With Jerry Guzman from JRR Custom Lures and Danny Wade, Yellowtail Surface Iron Guru here. And phones have been packed up. Let's go ahead and jump back in.
That sounds good, man. Let's talk to Sam. Sam's calling us from Irvine this morning. Hi, Sam. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning. I missed part of the show. Got disconnected, but... My question is for Danny. It might have been asked already. If he's on, like, say, the bow of the Malahini, and there's fish boiling on each side of the bow, which side are you throwing to and why?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, that's going to make a that's going to depend. Are we drifting or are we on the anchor? Again, it depends.
Are you on the anchor, Sam, or drifting?
Drifting.
I'm going to be fishing typically mainly on the downwind side of the boat. For some reason, that fish comes up on the downwind side of the boat.
On the downwind side.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Wind in your face.
Wind in your face, yeah. That, especially that yellowtail. And the tuna do the same thing. The guy throws the bait on that side of the boat. A certain amount of it gets under the boat, and it comes out off the bow, and then it squirts out to, you know, downwind side of the boat. I don't know why, but it does. So that's where I'm going to be. You know, I can't tell you how many fish you hook on the downwind side of the boat, especially surface iron fishing.
Okay, what if the boat's anchored?
Depends on the current.
Yeah.
See, again, all of this depends.
Depends.
If it's anchored, I'm going to... God, it depends on where you're anchored up. It depends on, you know, how deep a water. You know, if you were sitting on, say, the gun sight and the current's running to the southeast, and I'm going to probably fish on the left-hand side of the boat as you look back.
As you look back. Okay.
But, again, it depends. You know, you can't say that I'm today I'm going to do this. It depends.
Conditions.
Yeah,
what do you look for?
It's all about current.
Okay.
It's all about current.
Are you looking for where the fish, where the birds are?
All of that. Again, you know, the birds relate to the fish relate to the current, the bait relates to all of it. You know, it depends on where, if you're anchored or if you're drifting. You know, it all depends.
So if you're, a Danny Wade favor, you're anchored up somewhere at the Coronado Islands with, you know, an appropriate amount of condition, are you casting the lure constantly, or are you standing back and waiting to see something that makes you want to cast, knowing that there's a fish there?
For the most part, it's something that tells me something's going on. Mm-hmm. But you know, a lot of times you'll just see the fish. You know, you'll see his back's out of the water and all of that. But on other times, you'll see that bird, you know, especially those terns, they get up, they're 50 feet above the water. There's four or five, and they're just looking down. I mean, they're just not budging. They're just looking down. So you know there's some scattered fishing, and you know that if you pay attention to how high those birds are off the water, so say those birds are roughly 50 feet. That fish down below is roughly half that distance.
Okay.
Again, it's all a give or take, but it's roughly half that distance. So you might want to take your jig and cast it out, let it sink for 30 seconds.
I see a surface iron.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. You get it down closer to where they are. I mean, even fishing a bait, you know, that's a time of where you might want to put a little bit of weight on, because that fish is, for some reason, is just hanging down there, you know.
So the lower the birds, the higher the fish are in the water.
In the water column, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and so you may make, if you know that, if you feel that fish is just scattered, and same thing, the guy's telling you up on top, yeah, we're marking a lot of scattered fish out here. That's when you need to make casts. Mm-hmm.
Just blind cast.
Blind
get
cast.
Your lure,
man, just get it in the water and keep putting it in the water. But when you're seeing, you know, you're watching balls of fish swim around and fish boiling up and turned birds getting down walking on the water, then you're casting at that. You want to cast at the turned birds or in front of them. The seagulls are picking up the scraps on the back end.
Ah, it's the turns are the key.
That's the that's
fisherman.
Where it's at, yeah.
All right.
A couple things on that is what I look for is looking at the turns. How they screech. Number two, a couple birds, how they flap their wings. If they're kind of just hovering there, I know it's right there. You can see them just kind of hovering, and they dart to the right or to the left. They saw a flash probably. And then, you know, we're talking current and all that. For a lot of guys, that probably like, oh, my God, what the heck is he talking about? Ask your skipper out on top. He's on the binos or the deckhands. You'd be surprised. I'd be on the top fishing with Ray Montero Stinger, and he could just sit there, and he could just, like, feel it. And I just asked, hey, what are you feeling? What are you seeing? What's the current doing? And he'll tell you. And so, you know, these skippers want to catch fish. And if you don't know what the current's doing or how to look for it, just ask. And you'd be surprised how much knowledge you get by these guys, because they're on the water every day.
Good
That's
info.
Great info, yeah.
Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Ted in Tribuco, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Hi, Ted. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. My question is for Danny or Jerry. You briefly talked about what happens on the back end of the jig. My question is about the front end rigging. Typically, I'll have a 3 foot of 40-pound fluoro in advance of a swivel. And my question was about whether you direct tie a knot or put a snap on. And you've already talked about retying a jig, but is a snap going to change my action?
Of course it will. In a good way and or a bad way. It depends on the kind of snap. There's a lot of things that go into this. You go back to the old days, you know, my days when I was a kid, fishing wire, single strand wire. You put it on a lure because you're trying to enhance the way it swam because monofilaments were so much stiffer, mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Kaibo makes a jig where he's got an additional ring on the front of it. I'm assuming you're fishing braid because you're using a four foot piece of something, fluoro or mono, whatever it is. Get rid of the swivel. Tie a knot. Get rid of the swivel. And I would tie your lure directly to your leader. If you're fishing in a skiff or a smaller boat, the Spectra and that little leader is fine. If you're on a sport boat, be putting mono on your rod and reel.
Okay. How much mono?
A cast, farther than you can cast.
Okay.
You ask any of these guys that run these boats, that work on these boats, they're going to tell you to put mono on.
Why?
It's more forgiving.
Okay.
You can make a cast. Fishing in your boat, Rick, you don't need to make a 250-foot cast.
Okay.
100 foot, 150 feet. You get on a sport boat, you got to be able to chuck it out there. And braid is not forgiving when it comes to a cast.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of jigs that way, too.
Yeah.
But you're better off with mono. I fish a real tight drag on a long rod. And I got news for you, man. I hang one of those fish on. If it takes 25 feet of line, man, it's taking a lot of line. And I fish tight, but that long rod absorbs it. So
yeah.
It's just a big shock absorber.
So what about these? He talked about these clips, these quick release clips. A lot of guys like the, you don't like them.
No, I don't like any of that stuff.
Straight tie, right?
Straight.
And what do you tie? What knot you tie?
I just use San Diego.
San Diego.
Yeah, you know, I don't double it up. I don't do anything of that nature.
Jerry, what's your take on all that?
You know, I know a lot of guys on the boat use that San Diego knot. I use a double clinch knot. I mean, because I'm good at it, and it's quick for me. It's easy. I think terminal tackle today is hand over fist improved. You know, I can't say I use Iserline for 40 to 50 pound, and I can't think of a time where my line snapped. Maybe it was a bad tie, mm-hmm. but you know, everything's just improved so much that it. A simple double clinch knot. I've not lost a fish in a long time because of that.
What's your take on fluorocarbon, guys?
For surface iron fishing, a waste of money.
Okay.
I use Iser, you know, first string Iser. I carry a spool of 40 pound with me. If I screw my line up during the course of a day, I take it off and wind a new line on. That's why, you know, you use the braid underneath it, but you know, I can cast a long way. So I'm using, you know, 150 yards of mono. Because you're also going to change your lure at times during the day. Every time you cut a lure off, you tie a new one on, that's a foot of line. You do that, you know, some guys might do it 25 times during the course of a day. 25 feet adds up pretty quick.
So you're fishing braid, and then a cast length of mono.
Yeah,
on
yeah,
the
a little more than a cast
length.
So
you can strip off. So if you backlash and mess up the line, you can take that off, redo it. You'll do it right in the middle of the trip.
Yeah, I even did it before the
braid. Danny Wade backlashes? Wait a minute.
We all do.
Yeah.
I just don't do it.
Professional overrun.
I just don't do it very often. But
I like that.
But even, you know, back before the braid phenomenon, a lot of us, you know, guys who were serious about the surface iron, you would peel, you spliced it into mono, you know, and then when you needed to change it, you went to the knot, retied it, and tied it back on. That bottom half or bottom two-thirds of your reel,
that's
just filler, exactly. Yeah. You use the braid now because it doesn't, you know, you can use it forever and ever.
Right.
And if you do take it offshore and you hook a big one, you know, it comes in handy for that.
What are you tying?
Well, I just use the RP.
The RP.
Yeah, and I've never had an issue with it.
Yeah, all right. Very good. Good questions.
That's
Thanks
great,
a lot
man.
For the call this morning.
All right. Let's jump back into him and talk to Brian, calling us from Harupa Valley this morning. Hi, Brian. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. So just a question for Danny. I have I was told was a 724 Hardnell 10-footer, and I'm just wondering how can I tell if it is for sure and how much are they worth?
Well, they're worth whatever somebody wants to pay for it.
It weighs 300 pounds, and you can bend it in a hula hoop. It probably is.
Yeah. Unless you got a label on it, it's going to be hard to tell. You need to take it somebody who's who's a little more down. If I saw it, I could tell you if it was or wasn't. But you need to take it to, you know, a local tackle shop, especially somebody that's got a little history.
Doug Kern could probably tell
behind
you.
Behind it.
Right?
And
no doubt.
Doug's got the knowledge on it.
And, I mean, they're painted black. Most people think they're naturalist, but it's a paint. Mm-hmm. And the undercolor of it is much like a brown, I mean, a roddy.
Okay.
It's that dark, caramely brown. Mm-hmm. You know? So, again, you know, when Jeannie and her husband were doing that stuff, they put stickers on them, and they were labeled. It would say, Harnell Rods by Harrington, then it would be whatever the number was. You know, if you're fortunate to have that on it, it makes it easy.
Right.
But to just, you know, for the untrained eye, it's going to be really tough. But like Rick said, if you can take it and kind of make a big U shape out of it, odds are it could be Harnell.
That's such a unique rod, especially in the hands of somebody like Danny to watch one of those casts. They are so slow that watching, you know, especially a big guy like Danny, like you watch him push his arms forward and that tip follows back a second and a half later, the thing comes so slow. But
the nice thing about it is it's effortless.
Right.
You don't have to do anything. Stand flat-footed and just let the rod do the work.
I think Danny just increased the 724 by like $200. Thanks.
You got one, huh? All right, thanks a lot for the call. Let's try and sneak in one more.
All right, not a lot of time. How about we grab Mark calling us from Lakeside. Hi, Mark. You got a quick question for us?
Yeah, hey, I just wanted to know if I wanted to grab a handful of those, say, for La Jolla, for the islands, and for tuna, what would be two of each that you guys would go with?
I'm talking a handful of jigs. Oh, the JRI jigs. What would you go with, Jerry?
If you're fishing La Jolla, JRI 7, DW1. You're fishing Coronado Islands, JRI 4, JRI 3.
They have those over at Dana Landing?
They do.
Yeah.
And
you guys have them Fisherman's Landing?
Do,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah. JRI 4 is great for the islands.
Okay. All right. And then the DW1 is made for?
All the above.
Yeah, all the above. I think the JRI 3 and the DW1 are all around great. Jig. I think the DW1 and the JR or the 3 is the equivalent of like a Taddy 45 or the 7X, the mainstays of those guys.
Okay.
That's my take on that.
And when are we going to see more available?
We're making them as fast as we can. I got guys working overtime, extra day on weekends.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. I mean, shops are ordering 500 so
watch
at
your,
a time.
So watch your local tackle store.
Yeah. And you know what? For guys calling shops, send us a message on Instagram.
Okay.
Straight from the horse's mouth.
What's your Instagram?
Just look us up on Instagram at JRI Custom Lures. I try to do a good job getting back to people.
Okay.
And then we blast it out, say, hey, we just did a jig drop on such and such shop. Give them a call. And I think Danny could attest that when we put it out there, the people call.
It almost doesn't matter for Danny, like you said, because they're gone so fast. You said you went through 100 in a day.
Our first shipment at H&M was 92 jigs, was it? Something like that?
It was like 150. It was like over
100. Whatever it was. I mean, it was inside of 3.5 hours.
Really?
It's gone.
Gone.
It's gone.
Wow.
And we've had, you know, three deliveries like that, and the same thing. It's just gone.
Just gone.
And you know,
Ricky's still waiting for his delivery.
you get people calling in from, you know, San Pedro and Tustin, and they're going to drive down to buy some, and drive down early.
Yeah. Put some throttle to it.
Indeed.
That's cool.
Thanks for the call.
When we come back, we're going to find out who's got themselves a little collection of JRI, a hat, a brand new DW1 jig, and going fishing on the Liberty. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.
Pete here to tell you about our friends Jim and Mary and their incredible crew at Poway Valley Collision. I hear it all the time. Hey, I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, and you were right. Mentioned you guys, and they gave us the VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say, Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. We know you may not need them now, but when accidents happen, it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. And I'm not fooling. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars $1,000 on your car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, and Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. I had my car repaired at Poway Valley Collision, and the job was perfect. So get your vehicle fixed right at Poway Valley Collision, 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests, as well as an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We now have a direct flight departing through the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge with first-class accommodations and meals. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7577. Or check out CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest that's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Fillet knives shouldn't be disposable. Introducing AFCO fillet knives that are built to last. Designed in collaboration with Boker Germany, AFCO knives feature 4116 German stainless steel, bonded with titanium nitride to ensure optimum corrosion resistance and exceptional edge retention. A non-slip TPR handle maintains a firm grip when processing game fish. Premium in every sense, AFCO fillet knives are available in multiple length options to provide the right tool that gets the job done season after season. Fillet knives from AFCO. Any fish, any water.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. This one blew me away that 2 hours could have possibly already gone by.
Yeah, really great.
So much fun. Hey, big winner of a JRI t-shirt, the brand new DW1 JRI jig, and a fishing trip, a full day trip on board the Liberty of Fisherman's Landing. That's going to Sammy in Chula Vista. Sammy, congratulations. You were going
to
have a blast.
Yeah, we never got
boat.
To Sammy's call, but everybody that calls is eligible to win, and that was the winner.
Yep, Sammy's still on hold at the end of the show, and he's the big winner.
Indeed, so congratulations. Hey, I want to mention, too, we just heard an ad for Poway Valley Collision. Hey, they're open and ready for business. If you have need some work on your car, nobody does it better than Poway Valley Collision. Yep. Go see them. And hey, if we want more information on JRI Custom Lures, Jerry, how do we do it?
Just check us out on Instagram, JRI Custom Lures, or on Facebook, JRI Custom Lures. We have a website, but we're so busy, I haven't even had time to look on it. So
but, Instagram's
the way to go.
All right. Danny, thanks a lot for the time.
You got
appreciate
it,
it. It was great. Great show. And thank you, everybody. Thanks to Dave, or his last day with Let's Talk Hookup. He's going to the Padres tomorrow. So thanks, Dave, for all you do. We'll have our main guy, Adam, back again next week doing the board. But, hey, good luck on the Padres, Dave. Captain Brian Kiyohara and Lori from the American Angler will be here next Saturday, 7 to 9 a.m. And then Sunday, Dale Hightower from Seaguar will be with us. Thanks for listening today. Thanks for all your support. And we'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and radio network.